Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. My name is Jonathan. I'm a recovering legalist. I've been one my entire life, but I think the problem intensified once I became a pastor. See, the problem is legalism is easy. Legalism works. For example, at one particular point in my ministry, as I was teaching confirmation, I noticed the parents are bringing their students to confirmation class, but they were rarely in church and Sunday school. So I gathered the parents together and I said, I'm going to make a requirement. If you want your children to be confirmed, then they must be in church and they must be in Sunday school. The parents wanted to know how often. I said, every Sunday. That wasn't going to work, so we negotiated and we landed on 50%. They were happy. I was happy. It worked. Or there was a young woman who came to my office because she wanted to get married in the church. She was a member. I found out that she was living with her boyfriend, and not only that, she had a pattern of that. There were at least two others that she had moved in with. And so I told her that if she wanted to be married in the church, she needed to come into my office for private confession and absolution, confess her sins, and then she could get married in the church. And so she did that. She was happy, and I was happy, and it worked. It works. I've seen other examples. For example, stewardship programs that guilt people into giving, or evangelism programs that guilt people into getting active. You know, those things work. And you know what? When the offering plates are full and when people are coming in the door of the congregation, everyone is happy. It works until it doesn't. Until the last child in the family goes through my confirmation instruction, and then they're not in church anymore. 50% of the time, they're not in church anymore at all. It works until it doesn't. A year after that woman was married, I found out that she had moved out, separated from her husband, and now was living with someone else. And when I went to talk to her about it, I said, don't you remember the things we talked about when we were sitting in my office and you confessed your sins? And she said, I just told you what you wanted to hear so I could get what I wanted. It works until it doesn't. That's the problem with trying to motivate someone with the law. It may force an outward change, but it does not address the real problem, which is the hardness of hearts. Moses' rule about permitting a man to divorce his wife if he wrote out a certificate worked to a point. It helped protect the woman's status, giving her some legal protection and proof that she was not simply abandoning her husband and walking out on him. It prevented the husband from enriching himself with her dowry and getting rid of her. It also may have removed opportunity for ongoing quarreling or much worse. And so it worked to a point. But it did not address the underlying problem, which Jesus quickly points out to the Pharisees. He says, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. Notice that one little word that Jesus uses, your. Because of your hardness of heart, Moses wrote this commandment. You see, Jesus lumps in the Pharisees with all those who'd gotten divorced. They shared the same problem and the same guilt, and so do you and I. It is also because of your hardness of heart and my hardness of heart that Moses wrote this commandment. You see, when you're in the pastoral ministry, you have to deal with some messy, ugly stuff. And when you are a sinner, you have to deal with some messy, ugly stuff in your own life. And the temptation is to think that if I just apply the law in the proper way, I can make everyone happy and I can fix things. It's really the way of the legalist. And you see, misuse of the law will make the heart even harder, both of your hearers and your own. For misuse of the law will lead one to become secure in their own sin and more inclined to depend on themselves to be their own savior. Here are some signs of hardening of heart: refusing to forgive those who sin against you, arguing who is the greatest, counting yourselves among the good guys and others among the bad ones, not being willing to cut off a hand if it causes you to sin or think that's really necessary, thinking that you have more to offer than the littlest child in your midst, using the law to motivate, refusing to ask forgiveness when you sin against others, being willing to sacrifice others and send them away, but not being willing to sacrifice yourself. And here's one more: the idea that you are there to help them with their problem. Oh no, it's because of the hardness of your heart. It's not that the law has no use, it most certainly does. And what does it do? It reveals the hardness of your heart and mine, and then shows us what God's will is for the Christian. The Pharisees dabbled in the law, but they could not see that the hardness of their hearts, the hardening of their spiritual arteries, was preventing the very things from flowing through their lives that they needed the most: His life-giving grace and mercy, and the creation of the new heart that Christ puts in us through faith. But there is a place where people with hardened hearts, a place where recovering legalists can come for help. Anyone can come, but it's really for those who have hit rock bottom, whose hardened hearts have finally been crushed by the understanding that they really aren't the people that they thought they were, who really aren't as good and holy and wise and understanding as they thought they were, who finally come to realize how offensive their sins are before God. Even if everyone else is happy, He is not happy with our sin. It's for those who come to see that all of the brokenness in this world, including divorce and damaged marriage and families, are testimony to the brokenness that exists within each one of us. Because right there, in the midst of those hard-hearted Pharisees and disciples, is the one who welcomes children, those with nothing to give and everything to receive. He is the one who will go to the cross to suffer the death of the hard-hearted, that new life may be given. And when He rose again, that heartbeat of new life beat not only in His own chest, but it courses throughout the entire body of Jesus Christ, of which you are members. He's here today, not with some human fix that we think should make everyone happy, not with some temporary fix, but is here today with the divine eternal fix. He is here with His very body and blood, which He gives to you for the forgiveness of sins. And in that body and blood of Christ Jesus, you have oneness with Him. And that means that God looks at you and he is very pleased. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.